We've all read stories of people trapped in deserted places without food, and they go to great lengths for survival. Many of those stories include things people would normally not eat just to survive because they were so hungry they would eat anything. Thankfully, most of us have probably never been in that place. In fact, we're never here. This is the second time we've been here with Pastor Ed and Lori, and last night they took us again to that place out in the middle of nowhere. And I'm going to tell you, I had the salmon, but I coveted halfway through my meal when I saw a ribeye steak go by. I woke up at 2:51 this morning, and guess what the first thought popped in my mind? That ribeye steak went by. Usually when we're hungry for something specific. For example, I hear people say, I'm hungry for a big, juicy steak. I'm hungry for a cheeseburger. I've been thinking about a Dairy Queen Butterfinger Blizzard all day. I've noticed, though, the more self-sufficient we've become, the less we are hungry for the power of God. I recall my grandparents telling stories of needing the power of God to do something for them, or they would go without the basics of life. They depended on the power of God. We're so thankful for all the advancements of mankind today in science and technology. Most of those discoveries we have today have made our life a lot more comfortable. But have you noticed there seems to be more sick people today than there was before? There's more people. We've got more advancements in mental health, more therapists than ever before, more counseling. More people are going into psychology and counseling in our universities, and that's wonderful. That's great. We promote that and are all for that. That's the area we live in. But there are more people with all the advancements and all the growth of that industry. There are more people dealing with psychological disorders and anxiety-related issues more than ever before. As I shared this morning in our 9:30 service, and if you weren't here, let me share it with you. One in every between 4 and 5 Americans now, adult Americans, are dealing with some type of mental health crises, either anxiety, depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, multi-personality disorders. Have you noticed on TV, I know you have, all the advertisements by pharmaceutical companies for people that are struggling with some kind of anxiety or depression? And now are they not only advertising medication for it, they're advertising additional medication for it on top of what you're already taking. Because that's mankind's solution. Just take a pill, and it doesn't heal anything. It just numbs you enough not to have to deal with the trauma or the thought life. I want you to understand, God doesn't want you to just deal with it. God has a plan to help you to conquer it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everywhere we go, I'm the teaching pastor of a large church in Kuvon. In other words, they have me teach when the pastor's not in there. And last year I taught 19 weekends. He was gone 19 weekends, and I taught all 19 weekends. And they had 4 services a weekend, 5 o'clock on Saturday, and then Sunday morning you start at 9. And at 9 they escort you on the platform, and you've got to be out by 10:10. And at 10:10, when you say amen, there's a security team that takes you off the stage. They take you in a car to the back of the campus where there's another service that's full of people, and they're finishing their worship service. I walk in the side door, walk right up on the platform. I preach. I'm finished with that service at 11:10. I walk off the platform. The security detail takes me back in the car to the main sanctuary where the sanctuary is full again, 1,200 people, of people who are worshiping. I walk right up on the platform and preach 9, 10, 11, bang, bang, bang. And it's wonderful. It's a lot of people. It's great, but it's all scripted. It's all planned out. There's no move of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you this? There's no room for the Holy Ghost to move. And I'm so thankful for that opportunity to get our message out and that the Lord's using us to teach people the Word of God. But what we experienced here this morning is not happening everywhere. Where there's a flow, where there's a move, where there's a freedom, where there's a liberty, where there's a community of worshipers who come together and are pulling on the Spirit of God. And when we pull on the presence of Jesus, He will come and He will manifest His glory. And what I've noticed in all of these larger churches, and they're wonderful, and I'm not criticizing any of them. They're great. We are thankful for that opportunity. But I've noticed on all these larger churches that have multiple services and everything's aired internationally on TV, everything is scripted. And it doesn't make any difference if the power of God shows up or if the power of God doesn't show up. It doesn't change anything because they're going according to the script. But can I tell you something? In these next few years, should Jesus not come, we're going to need the power of God. It's not a script that's going to set the captive free. It's not a script that's going to keep the devil at bay. He's not scared of scripts. What he cannot stand is the power of God. And the way we get the power of God manifested in our lives is to get hungry for it again. Listen to these verses. Matthew 4:23 again. And Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kind of sickness and all kind of disease among the people. Here's another one. Here, I love this one. Luke 5:17. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out to every town of Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. 1 Corinthians 2:4. And my speech, Paul said, and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Some of the most remarkable healings that I've seen in our ministry has happened in worship services like this. I remember one afternoon I was praying in our sanctuary, and I'd given myself to the Lord in prayer for at least 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday, 2 hours a day. I'd go in the sanctuary. I'd lay on the front of, at the front before the platform, lay on the carpet. Sanctuary wasn't as big as this one. And I would just pray. Pray in the Spirit, pray in the understanding, 2 hours a day. And I was young in ministry, and I wasn't seeing a lot of people healed. In fact, I was praying for people, and they wouldn't get healed. And it was discouraging me. I didn't know what I was doing wrong. I didn't know. I knew we believed in divine healing, but we wasn't seeing people healed. So I gave myself to prayer. I gave myself to trying to find out, Lord, how can I get the power of God? And as I was praying that day, all of a sudden, I had a vision of a Sunday night service at our church that I'd never seen before. The place was packed. On a Sunday night, it was packed. People were standing around the walls. And in that service, I saw myself on the platform, and I saw myself walk off the platform and went to the right side, which would be y'all's left. And as people were standing along the walls, I saw myself lay my hands on the forehead of a woman I had no idea who it was, I'd never seen before. And I just laid my hands on her, and I walked back up on the platform, and I closed the service. Well, about 3 weeks later, we got into a move of God, a revival, prayer escorts in the presence of God. And we'd prayed in the move of God, and people started hearing about it. And about 3 or 4 weeks later, we had a Sunday night service. And lo and behold, when I sat on that platform and I looked out there, there was that scene. Every chair, every pew was filled. We had pews. Every pew was filled. People were standing in the back and lined the wall. And when I looked over to the right, there was that woman I saw in that vision. I thought, there's that woman. What am I supposed to do? Nobody had ever taught me what to do after I had a vision. So I preached the message, and all of a sudden it just came to me. I know it's the Holy Spirit. Do what you saw yourself do in the vision. So after I finished preaching, I gave an altar call. People came up, and people were praying for them. And I just walked down it. Just like I saw myself in the vision. I walked down off 2 steps, and I walked over, and she was standing. I'd never seen her before, didn't say a word to her. I just laid my hands on her, her forehead. She didn't fall out. She didn't holler. There was no angelic visitation. There was nothing. I thought, this is the craziest thing. She might punch me. She might sue me. You just never know. And so I walked back up, and we finished the service. 2 weeks later, my secretary, my little part-time secretary, said, there's a man out here that wants to see you. I said, who is he? She gave me his name. I'd never heard of his name. Didn't know who he was. I said, what do you want to see? He wants to see you about his wife. I'm thinking, oh, maybe they're fussing or fighting. And I said, well, let him in. So he came in. He introduced himself. They had just moved down here from Dayton, Ohio. He was a retired police officer, and in his retirement, he wanted to move down here to live in Tennessee. It was more economical for him to live. And they moved about 10 to 15 miles from the church, and they heard about our church, and they came. He said, do you remember this night? And I said, yeah, I remember. Wasn't that a great story? He said, it was amazing. He said, do you remember going over and praying for a lady up against the wall? I said, yeah. He said, that was my wife. I thought, ooh, what's coming next? And he said, God touched her. I said, well, what happened? What's her story? He said, I'm not going to tell you. I said, well, that ain't right. What do you mean you're not going? He said, I'm going to let her tell you. She'll call you in a week and come see you. Sure enough, within a week, my secretary, a little part-time secretary, said, there's a lady called and wants to set up an appointment with you. I said, okay. Told me her name, and the same last name as this guy. I said, that must be his wife. She came in to see me. She sat down, very mild, not flamboyant at all, just very mild. She said, you remember you laid hands on me? I said, yes, ma'am, I do. She said, you don't know me, do you? I said, no, I didn't know your husband. I don't know you. She said, you don't know that I've had 13 back surgeries. She said, we're from Dayton, Ohio. I've had 13 back surgeries in my Ivan Valley Hospital. You can call them and verify everything I'm telling you. She says, up until that night, it would take me 2 hours to roll out of bed. I was so stiff and so in so much pain, it would take me 2 hours. I walked like this, and I just shuffled my feet. And they told me, because of all the scar tissue, because of all the damage and all the surgeries, that would be the best. And I would eventually be paralyzed. She said, but you laid hands on me. I said, well, what happened? She said, nothing. I said, well, you know what? I said, you didn't say nothing. You just sat there, stood there, and didn't ever open your eyes. She said, but the next morning, instead of rolling out of bed, I got out of bed. And in these last few days, I've walked over a mile a day, totally healed. 2 months later, she made an appointment to see me again. She said, well, she came in, she said, well, I've got to have my 14th back surgery. I thought, oh, man, the healing didn't hold. I said, did you hurting again? She said, yeah, but it's different reasons. I've been back to the doctor, and they couldn't believe what's happened to me. And now I'm going back in for my 14th back. They're taking out some of the rods that they put in. Yeah. Healed. Healed by the power of God. And we buried her about 3 years ago, 40-something years later. Healed by the power of God. But you know what? We used to hear those stories all the time. But now we don't hear them. And what's sad is we're not hungry to hear them. They used to be commonplace. We used to go to church expecting, well, what God's going to do today. He's going to do something special today, because when we go and worship him, he shows up. But now today, we many times go just to be entertained instead of to seek the power of God. Yet in these last days, I say to you, in these last days, by the Spirit of God, there's coming back a healing revival, because healing is the dinner bell of the gospel. People start getting healed of diseases that medical science says we cannot help you with. I guarantee you, people will run back to the church. And there's coming back a healing revival. And we as Christians, Spirit-filled, full gospel people, we need to be the cheerleaders in this healing revival. Not because of some emotional fling we have. Not because of some emotional song that gets us worked up. All that's wonderful and that's great and we love it all. But because the Word of God teaches us that divine healing, it belongs to the people of God. So let me, for the next 12, 14, 16, I get hungry at 11:45. In the next 9 minutes, Let me give you some scriptural principles why every day when you go to prayer, you just remind the Lord what His Word says about your divine healing. The Bible says, with long life I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. The Bible says, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it shall also make alive your mortal body. You have the Spirit of God inside of you, and that Spirit that brought Jesus from the dead, it's going to make alive our mortal body. But we've got to get hungry for it. We've got to seek it. Look what it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. Here's point number one. Don't forget this. Sickness and death have come upon the human family because of sin. Sickness and death have come upon the human family because of sin. Now listen to me. Don't believe that false teaching that people would tell you, well, God put that sickness on you to teach you something. No, listen, God sent His Word to teach us. God sent the teacher, the Holy Spirit, to teach us. The Bible says sickness and death has come upon the human family because of sin. God is not going to send something caused by sin to teach us some spiritual lesson. That's not the way God works. So sickness and death have come upon the human family because of sin. Do we remember God created man perfectly? You and I, mankind, were not created to die. God created an environment that was perfect for Adam and Eve, but allowed man to eat of a food source that provided not only physical sustenance, but supernatural sustenance, the tree of life. It was only when man sinned that God moved man out of the Garden of Eden. Have you ever thought, why did God want Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden? It wasn't to punish them. He wanted to get them away from the tree of life. Because as long as they were in the Garden of Eden, they could eat of the tree of life, and they could eat of the tree of life and live forever in a state of sin. Because they had sinned and failed God. God didn't want them to live that way. That's why He moved them out. Didn't you notice? The Lord allowed them to eat of the tree of life, but He forbade them from eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Have you ever thought about that? Why did He forbid them from eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He said, you can eat of every tree except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why did God not want them to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Because the only thing they got knowledge of, they received knowledge of, once they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was the knowledge of sin and the curse of sin. Because they didn't learn anything good by eating of the tree, because they were living in good. They experienced perfect. How gooder do you get than perfect? You see, that's why, she was beautiful. Adam was a stud muffin. She was beautiful. That's why, you know she was beautiful. When he looked at her, he goes, whoa, man, that's where woman come from. They had it perfect, but yet they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The only knowledge they gained was the curse of sin and the knowledge of what sin does. Understand this, the only reason sickness is in the world today, the only reason death is in the world today is because of sin. It's because of sin. Number two, not God, but the devil is the author of disease and death, but God is the author and giver of life. Look at John chapter 10, verse 10. You know this. Your wonderful pastors preach these truths. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they have it more abundantly. One of the sad things is that the devil is killing people. He's putting sickness and disease on people. The curse of this earth and sickness and disease is falling upon people, and people think God's doing it. God's not doing it. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. Listen to this verse, Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of who? Who oppressed them? The devil, not God. Healing all that are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Here's one. I love this one. Luke chapter 13, verse 11. Luke 13, verse 11. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. Spirit of sickness. Have you ever noticed there's some people that are always sick all the time? It's a spirit of sickness. A spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called to her and said to her, "Woman, you are loose from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite," verse 15, "does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water?" Verse 16. "So ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound?" Think of it now. 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath. "And when he said these things and his adversaries were put to shame, all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him." Jesus said, he said, she ought to be free because Satan bound her. Satan is the author of sickness and disease. "Do you mean this cancer that's come on me, Satan put it on me?" He probably didn't put it on you, but the curse of sin that's available and prevalent in the earth today because sinful man has caused it to come upon you. You don't never, God doesn't put cancer. Listen, the Bible says, it just angers me. The Bible says, if you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? If you being evil, one translation says, if you just being natural people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? What kind of father would I be? I'm a granddaddy. I saw those little ones playing around on the platform this morning. I just grinned. We've got six grandchildren. We call them three bigs and three littles. And the three littles, they are angels. They're the most brilliant, the most beautiful kids ever created. I'm sorry, yours are not, mine are, okay? They're 4, 3, and 2. And they come to our house and they're just, they'd put me in jail if I wanted to teach them a lesson by putting leukemia on them. I would be the most vilified person on planet Earth if I thought, you know, I want my kids to be pure and holy. I think I'll give them a childhood disease. How ridiculous of us to think that God puts something on us to make us more holier, to make us more precious. The Bible says if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give good? Listen, we're not child molesters, and God's not a child molester, you see. Sickness comes from the devil. Number three, in the atonement. Your pastor's taught you what the atonement is. Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, and what he accomplished on the cross. Full provision is made for our physical healing as well as our deliverance from the guilt, penalty, and power of sin. Do you know the same death that Jesus died for you and I on the cross not only wiped away our sins, it took care of our sicknesses and our diseases? Well, why don't we see more people healed? Well, let me tell you, if we preach divine healing and taught divine healing as easy to receive as we do salvation, you know how we do salvation? Just call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. We don't care where you are, what you've done, what you've said, where you've been, how you've lived, where you are right now, what you do, all you have to do is call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. And you know, people believe it. And then they'll say to us, "Well, I don't feel any different." You know what we say? It don't make any difference how you feel. It's by faith you're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then when it comes to divine healing, now remember, the same cross that he hung upon not only took our sins, it also took our sicknesses. The same cross that he hung upon not only took our sin situation, it took our sickness and disease situation. But when it comes to healing, we say, well, you got to do this and you got to say that. You got to say this formula. And then we'll say, say it. And they'll say it. And they say, well, how do you feel? Well, I don't feel no better. Well, just hang in there. You just keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. No, we preach healing a lot harder to receive than salvation. But the same sacrifice on the cross took care of both of them. That's what the word says. You say, how do you know that? Well, listen to what it says, Isaiah 53. Verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Same death, not only took care of our sins, took care of our sickness and disease. Here's one, I love this one, Matthew 8:14. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in a bed with a fever. Mother-in-law. This was his opportunity to say, she's out. The guy cut a guy's ear off. The guy who was emotional in his responses, you knew there was a change in his heart when he healed his mother-in-law. He saw Peter's mother-in-law laying in a bed with fever. He touched her hand. The fever left her. She got up and began to wait on him. That's a good mother-in-law. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him. He drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill. Now listen. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Well, that was Peter. He was an apostle. He had an apostle's anointing. Those things are done away with. No, he didn't do it because he was an apostle. The Bible says this was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities and he bore our diseases. See, upon what Jesus did, his knowledge and faith of what Jesus did on the cross, now Peter is praying for people and are being healed because the same sacrifice on the cross that took our sin nature also took sickness and disease away from us. We just got to appropriate it by faith. Matthew chapter 9. See, everything's got to have the word. Jesus stepped into a boat and crossed over and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, take heart, son. Your sins are forgiven. Notice, he's paralyzed. What did Jesus say? Most of us say, get up, be healed in the name of Jesus. Because he's paralyzed. That's the subject. Notice what it says. Jesus stepped into a boat and crossed over and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, take heart. Get up, be healed in Jesus. That's not what he said. He said, take heart, your sins are forgiven. And at this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? Notice they were entertaining evil thoughts. Which is easier to say? Now notice this. Look what Jesus said. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? Same power, same sacrifice takes care of both. But I want you to know, now notice this, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat and go home. Then the man got up and went home. Do you see what Jesus is telling us? They bring a paralyzed man to Jesus and Jesus said to him, your sins are forgiven. Then they fuss at Jesus at that, and he said, just let you know that I've got power for both. I say to the paralyzed man, get up and walk. And the man got up, and he was delivered from his sin and healed in his body. See, the full atonement of Jesus Christ on the cross not only took care of our sin nature, it took care of the sin and disease, the sickness and disease problem. You know this one, Psalm 103, verse 1 through 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and O my soul, and bless all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not his benefits, who forgiveth all of our, and who healeth all of our. Number four, it is God's will to heal all the sick. If you're sick here today, it's God's will to heal you. You've got to get that. Well, maybe he doesn't want me healed. I hear that all the time. What about Granny? She was a godly woman. She didn't get healed. I don't know about Granny. The Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord, but those things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever. There's some things I've laid hands on people and prayed with everything that was in me, and they didn't get healed and they died. And I want to walk away and I want to say, well, why? And I understand the questioning of why. Deuteronomy 32 says the secret things belong to the Lord, and those things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever. There's some things on this side of heaven that we'll never know. And the Lord tells us not to spend our time thinking about those things because those things belong to the Lord. But those things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever. So spend your time focusing on what's revealed. And what is revealed? God wants to heal the sick. Matthew 8, 1 through 3. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. See, most people don't have a problem knowing God can. Most people stumble on knowing if he will. You ask people, do you think God can heal you? Oh, yeah, he can. Yeah, oh, yeah. God can do anything. He's sovereign. He's big God. He's all powerful. He can do anything. Second question, do you believe he will? See, that's where faith comes in, Bob. Everybody believes he can. Not everybody believes he will. And the leper said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. And there's God's no respecter of persons. What he did for the leper, he'll do for you. I can't tell you the number of times that I've battled some kind of disease in my body, and I would say to the Lord, Lord, you did it for the leper. You're no respecter of persons. You'll do it for me. I claim it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew 10, 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, both multitudes, men and women. See, healing's the dinner bell of the gospel. When people start getting healed, people start coming. So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. It's God's will to heal the sick. Good friend of mine who just went home to be with the Lord about a year and a half ago, Terry Law. Terry Law was the crusade manager for Oral Roberts back under the tent meetings. And Terry would come and preach, and he was a mighty man of God. And he's the one that launched Don Moen, Integrity Music, into ministry. And Don was the leader of Terry Law's worship team when Terry was traveling full time. And Terry would come preach every year for us, just a dear friend. And I said to him, I said, Terry, tell me a memorable healing that happened during Oral Roberts' tent crusades. He said, the one that's always stood out to me, he said, there are hundreds of them that I saw. People on stretchers, getting up and walking off. People, wheelchairs. People throwing crutches up on the platform after being healed. Walking away. He said, the one that sticks out to me, Pastor Eddie, is we had a big tent. It seated about 10,000 under the tent. And Oral would be in a chair at the end of preaching a simple message of the gospel. They'd set him on the platform, and they would bring people by, lined up hundreds at a time, bring them by, and he laid hands on every single person. And people would get healed. He said he'd probably laid hands on 500-600 people. We have no idea. It was a full tent, and he prayed for a couple hours for people. He said he'd pray for everybody under the tent. And he said He finished. He was always the last one to leave. Him and I were the last ones to leave as far as the ministry party. The people cleaning the tent, things of that nature, they'd be there. But as far as the ministry party, me and him was the last one. He always wanted to be the last one. He didn't want anybody to leave without being prayed for. He said as we was walking out of the tent, he said behind the tent was a smaller tent that we took people once they wanted to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior to get some information on their new life in Christ. And he said, as I walked by the tent, that tent, it was empty because they'd already prayed for everybody to get saved and they had already gone home. And I looked over there, and there sitting in one of the chairs was a little boy, looked to be about 8 or 9 years old. And I stuck my head in when I saw him. There wasn't nobody else. And I thought, somebody's left him. He's lost. So I walked into him and I said to him, he said, Oral just walked on by the tent. He didn't look in. And I walked in and I said, son, are your parents here? He said, no, sir. And he said, what are you waiting on? Who are you waiting on? We're finished. We're getting ready to turn the lights on. Who are you waiting on? And the little boy said, I'm waiting on Oral Roberts. He said, you're waiting on Oral Roberts. Why are you waiting on Oral Roberts? He said, because I had some friends to bring me. I can't walk. And I had some friends to bring me because the Lord spoke to me in a dream and said if I'd come to the service, Oral Roberts would lay hands on me and I'd be healed. He said, really? He said, yes. He said, would you like Oral Roberts to lay hands on you? And he said, yes, sir. That's why I'm here. And he said, look down, and there was a shoebox beside him. And the little boy was barefooted. And he said, is that your shoes? He said, yes, sir. He said, why aren't you wearing them? He said, I can't wear shoes. And he pulled the box top open, and there was a brand new pair of shoes. He said, well, whose are those? He said, I went on and saved my money and bought these because the Lord said if Oral Roberts would lay hands on me, I'd be healed. So I wanted to go home in a new pair of shoes. Terry said, that so stirred me. I ran out of the tent. I went and grabbed Oral as he was getting ready to get in the car. Said, there's a young man who wants you to come pray. Oral just came back, walked in the tent. He just simply laid his hands on the little boy, prayed for him to be healed in Jesus' name. The little boy stood up on his feet, put his shoes on, and walked home from the tent that night. You see, this used to be commonplace. But we've gotten so sophisticated and so advanced that we are not hungry for the supernatural power of God anymore. But healing is part and parcel of the gospel. Remember, number one, sickness and death have come upon the human family because of sin. Number two, not God, but the devil is the author of disease and death, but God is the author and giver of life. Number three, in the atonement, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, full provision is made for our physical healing as well as for our deliverance from guilt, penalty, and power of sin. Number four, it is God's will to heal the sick. And finally, number five, Jesus committed his healing ministry first to the 12 disciples, then to the 70, and now to each believer. Remember Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those that believe. In my name they will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. Jesus is still the healer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all he asks us to do is just believe him. Just believe it.